Good morning. If you ask some kids, what is heaven like? You'll probably get all kinds of answers, but they may say it is, well, it's like gold streets, or it's like we'll be angels there, and we'll be fluttering around or flying around in the clouds. If you ask adults what heaven is going to be like, you may get another wide range of answers. The golfer will say, well, I think that in heaven I'm going to play on a course that will be more beautiful than Augusta National ever could dream of being. The hunter will say, I'm going to kill the biggest bucks imaginable when I'm in heaven. To the one who's burned out and tired of work, they'll say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to rest on the beach all day long. Those are some of the thoughts that people have about what heaven is going to be like. But what is heaven really going to be like? It's something that in a lot of ways we struggle to know. In fact, some people in our primary descriptions of heaven that Christianity is often made of, where we'll be in heaven and you often have this image of people flying around with wings, playing harps, or maybe singing. It's almost like, because we see these beautiful descriptions of song and praise being made to God in Revelation. So people think that heaven's going to almost be like a 24/7 church service, where we'll just be singing all the time. And a lot of people in our world say that sounds very boring, and so clean. A lot of people say, I don't really see a lot of interest in that kind of heaven. What's heaven going to be like? As I thought about that this week, I began to investigate the scriptures once again to tell us what heaven is going to be like. And I discovered that they really don't tell us concrete information about what's going to go on in heaven. But rather they point us primarily to the who is going to be in heaven. For example, Jesus, when he's talking to his disciples when he's about to leave, says, let not your hearts be troubled. For you believe in God, believe also in me. Notice that Jesus says, beginning in this passage, it's a message of comfort. I don't want your hearts to be troubled. I want you to be comforted. And I want you to know that if you believe in God, then you can believe in me. You see, Jesus is emphasizing that you can trust me and that your faith in God is directly connected with your faith in heaven. You see, people that have faith in heaven but don't have faith in God, Jesus would say that's inconsistent. You see, our faith in God teaches us that there's a heaven. And if we desire to be in heaven, desire to have eternal life, then it should teach us that the only way for that is through faith in God. Believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many rooms. We've often developed a whole theology around that, and we sing songs, the mansion over the hilltop, and the King James Version translate that, the idea of a mansions. My Father's house are many mansions. But really what Jesus is saying there is he's not saying you're going to have your own private southern mansion up on a hilltop, but rather he's saying that there's plenty of room there, that there's room for all of God's people to come and be in heaven, and that no one that is a believer and follower and obedient to Christ and is a part of his son Jesus is not going to fit in heaven, but it's open for all. And if it were not so, Jesus said, I would have told you, but I've got to prepare a place for you. He says it's a prepared place. It's a place I'm going to be working on. And then Jesus says, as he continues on, that he will come again and he will take us to be with himself, that where he is, we may be also. Notice that this is the key emphasis of the text, that he's going to come again, and I will take you to myself, and that where I am, you'll be also. Jesus is saying that you're going to be with me. The apostles are fretting and worrying, and they're stressed. Their heart is sick because Jesus is saying goodbye. Jesus is saying, I'm about to go. In fact, he's saying, I'm going to die a cruel death on the cross. This is John 14, 15 and 16, is the night of his betrayal. It's the night that he's going to be betrayed by Judas. And this is the last instruction Jesus is giving his apostles. And so they're fretting, they're worrying. And Jesus says, I want you to know I'm going away. But I'm going to come again. And I'm going to receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus says, you're going to be with me. You're going to be in the Father's house. And Thomas asked the question that we often ask as well. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? We say, you know, I don't know where Jesus is. I don't understand about heaven. And in our world today, all kinds of people are trying to find out everything about heaven. And if you have some kind of vision or dream about heaven, you can then write a book and be successful at selling that book and sharing that near-death experience or that heavenly experience or that heavenly vision. And people are investigating all kinds of ways to find out what is the afterlife, what is heaven like. And Jesus says very simply this, you're going to be with me. You're going to be with me in a prepared place I've gone to prepare for you. And we're often like Thomas, we say, but Jesus, I don't understand fully what that is. I don't fully understand where you're going and how I'm going to get there. And Jesus says to him in that famous line that we often use in talking about salvation, but it's also in this context talking about heaven. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And no one can go to the Father's house, no one can go to the Father except through me. And if you have known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do not know him. You do know him and have seen him. Notice what Jesus does. Jesus says, you have not seen heaven. You've never been to heaven. But you've seen me. You've seen me walk upon this earth. You've seen all my love for you. You've seen how I care for you. You've seen all the things I do. Trust in me. Follow me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And if you follow me, you will enter the Father's house. You see, what Jesus says about heaven could be put in this phrase. Heaven is not about the what, it's about the who. What I mean by that is, we get wrapped up in the biblical descriptions are certainly interesting, but really there's not that many that describe heaven. If you take out Revelation 21 and 22, there's hardly any that describe very many details about it. And Revelation 21 and 22 is, of course, a symbolic book. And you have a lot of symbols that do not need to be stretched or taken literally, like the golden streets or the gates of pearls and the size of that being a cube about 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. It's a passage that is meant to describe a lot of things for us symbolically, but once again, we're left wondering, what's heaven really like? But if you study the passages that teach about heaven, here's the primary message you get. Heaven is where God dwells. Heaven is where Jesus is. Heaven is where the redeemed of all ages are. Heaven is not about the what, but it's about the who. You see, Jesus says, I can't tell you all about what's going to be there because that's not the emphasis, but I can tell you that I'm going to be there and that I will take you to be with me, and where I am, you will be also, because I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now, if you go to other passages, you'll see this same message. For example, Philippians chapter 1, in 21 through 23, what Paul says is this. Read with me. Beginning in verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. What's Paul focused on going to heaven for? Because of who is there. He says, I have a desire even right now to depart and go and be with Christ. I want to go and be with Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, The Bible makes the same point beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read a rather long reading. He says this, "For we know that if this tent, this outward body, is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling." Right now we have bodies, and these bodies deteriorate. They're subject to accident and death. They're subject to cancer. And they're certainly subject to old age, aren't they? And he says, we have a tent, and it's like a tent that's just left out in the weather. And that tent, which was originally new, begins to weather and fade. And ultimately, it's going to rip and tear. And he says, we have a tent that is looking forward to that heavenly home, eternal in the heavens. And he says this, verse 4, "For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. For he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, while we're still dwelling in this tent, we're away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight." You see, we're walking now by faith. We haven't yet seen heaven. We don't yet fully know what God's house is like. We haven't yet viewed it. But we have viewed Jesus through the pages of Scripture. Jesus came and showed us God. He showed us Himself. And we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, verse 8, we are of good courage. We would rather be away from the body. We'd rather leave this old body. We'd rather leave this old world with all of its sin and struggles and all of its stress and worry. We'd rather leave this body and be at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, whether we're here or there, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You see, we want to be home. And why do we want to be home ultimately in heaven? To be with Christ. Heaven's not about the what, it's about the who. And then in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, "Seeing what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now." Now listen to this. "And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." We don't even know fully what this immortal body is going to be like after the day of resurrection. We don't know what our heavenly dwelling is fully going to be like. But here's what John says we know. We know that we're going to be like Jesus. We're going to be made like Him. We're going to live with Him. And that makes all the difference. In Colossians chapter 1, he says that your faith and your love are working because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You see, we love others. We love our enemies. We love those who are unlovable. We have faith. We walk by faith. Why? Because of the hope laid up for us in heaven. If heaven is not in your vocabulary, then you're only living for the here and now. But the reason you should want and desire to go to heaven, as these scriptures are pointing out, isn't foremost for the what you will attain. But it is because of the who. Because of who is there. And that is why we can have faith and confidence each day. C.S. Lewis tells a story about a young boy who was talking to this couple about marriage, and they were trying to describe to him how a man could love a woman and how they could have a lot of joy in that relationship and how they could have commitment and security and these things and how that could give them happiness. And in this story that C.S. Lewis was telling, he said, yet the boy when they were trying to describe to him happiness and these things, they asked him, what makes you the most happy? For the boy, he said, it's eating candy. And he couldn't imagine anything that could make him happier than eating candy. And they tried to describe to him that in their life, that candy is nice, but really when you get older, that you mature and you value things like love and a friend and marriage, your wife and your husband. And the boy couldn't grasp it because to him, he was thinking, what could be better than candy? Here's the way it often goes in our life as well, isn't it, when it comes to spiritual things. We'll in heaven have a greater and fuller and more mature thinking, won't we? I believe we'll fully better understand and we'll be able to reach a newer level of maturity that often we can't even fully understand now. Heaven's not about the what, it's about the who. Look at Revelation chapter 21, talking about this passage. The Bible would say in verses 3 through 5, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. What's the emphasis? You're living with God. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither will there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Why are all those things there? Because of God. Because you're dwelling with God. Look on down at verse number 7. Where the Bible says this, the one who conquers will have his heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. You'll be with God. You're going to be the son of God with that intimate, close relationship. Look at verses 22 through 23 of the same chapter. I saw an old temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. The city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. God is its temple, and God is its light. Look on down to verses 3 through 5 of chapter 22. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. You see, you're going to see the face of God. You're going to have God's name impressed upon you. You're going to ultimately, in that mature way, be intimate and close to God. Wow. You see, heaven is not solely about pleasure. When we surveyed these passages about heaven, it doesn't talk about the beach that you want to lay on. It doesn't talk about the golf course you want to play or the buck you want to kill. It doesn't talk about what we might consider consumerism and attaining. See, heaven's not about getting bigger and bigger barns, more and more cars, or having everything you ever wanted. The New Testament doesn't make those promises that heaven is solely about pleasure or that heaven is all about having what you all wanted. But heaven is described as a place who emphasizes you are with God. And thus, heaven is the dwelling place of God. And if you don't want God or want Him very near, then you can hardly expect to be very interested in heaven. You see, heaven is a place of relationships. It's about God and Jesus and the Spirit. This is the emphasis that you'll be with God. He'll be the lamp. He'll be the temple. Jesus says, I'll go and I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you will be. Paul says to be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. I have a desire and depart and be with Christ. Paul says, I'm not waiting for the beach. I'm not waiting for the golf course. Paul says, I want to be with Jesus. You see, it's about relationships. It's about the righteous and the redeemed from all ages. We often, sometimes in discussions, we'll talk about, will we recognize one another in heaven? And I fully believe that we will. I believe that we will be able to recognize those that we knew here. And I believe we'll have greater recognition to know the redeemed of all ages. That we'll be able to talk to Paul and Peter. And we'll be able to talk to our friends and family that have gone on that we've missed here on this earth. I believe that we'll be able to talk to those in future generations who have kept the faith after we've gone on. But think about it. It's not about what you're doing. It's not about what you have. This world is about physical stuff. Heaven is about relationships. It's about being with God. It's not about the what. It's about the who. And it's described as a place of rest. Revelation 14, 13. Place of rest where we're told to rest from our labors. It's a place of work. Matthew 25, when the five-talent man and the two-talent man receive the reward, they're told to enter into the joy of the Lord and that they will be given more responsibility because they have served well. It's a place of responsibility and work. I'm not sure what all that means, but heaven is described as being a place where we'll be serving God. We'll have a purpose. Let me say, it'll be a purpose where we're fully fulfilled and a purpose where we are able to attain what we're not able to attain here because of sin. It's a place of beauty, a place of intimacy. There'll be no more jealousy and strife and rivalry. A place of intimacy where we can be known for who we are and we can know others truly for who they are. There'll be no more pretense and caste system and social system. It's a place of love, a place of fellowship, a place of friendship. What are all these things, rest, work, and intimacy and love, what are they related to? They're related to relationships. It's a place of no mores. We already read that description of Revelation 21. It'll be a place of no more sin, no more death, no more separation. Place of no more pain. Doesn't it hurt us to see our family or our friends suffer with pain? Place of no more pain. Place of no more division and strife and sin. It's going to be a place filled with glory and honor. You see, heaven is not about the what, as our world wants to get involved in. As people want to sell movies and books that focus on what you're going to get. When Jesus talks about heaven, he talks about who you're going to be with. And the hope we have in heaven. You see, the more you read that stuff, or the more you think about that stuff, or the more you study your Bible, if you try to focus on what it's going to be like, I believe that you're going to always come up short and it's always going to be a little distant. And you're going to be like Thomas. You're going to be saying, Jesus, I don't really know what it's like. And what you need to do is hear Jesus say, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And you keep loving Jesus. I want to tell you three stories. First story makes that point I was just making. This lady was Peggy Harris, and she married Billy Harris in 1944, and then he shipped off to go to war. He was a fighter pilot, and he was shot down in France by the Germans. And Peggy, who was his faithful bride of only 6 weeks, did not hear detailed information. She first heard that he had been killed in action, then she heard he was missed, and then she heard he was buried in one cemetery, and then another cemetery. She kept getting all these conflicting reports. The years, the months turned into years, and she still did not get a conclusive decision. The military had told her that they didn't know about his remains was the last she heard. And so she would write her congressman, and this went on for decades. As late as 2005, she had sent a letter to her congressman asking for a report on her husband. But she chose to still be married to him. She remained married because she did not know of his status, and she also loved him. She said, he chose to be married to me all of his life, and I chose to be married to him all of my life. Finally, one of her nephews got involved, and he sent a letter to, got to researching himself, and he contacted the military records and found out that he had actually been buried in a cemetery, and they go over and visit, and actually he was marked grave in a cemetery. And she has sent flowers 10 times a year, and she has gone and visited and found out that he was a hero to these people of this French town. Now, I tell you this story because here's the point. She chose for decades to stay married because of love. She didn't seem, she wasn't getting any what, she wasn't getting anything out of him, but she chose to love the who. She chose to love the man that she couldn't even be with. You know, in our lives as Christians, what Jesus is telling us in this passage is that you're going to have to go some decades here on this earth. You're going to have to go some years here on this earth of loving me. And you're not physically going to be with me. I'm going to be in heaven. But if you keep your focus on loving me, one day I'm going to come again and you'll be with me. You see, we have to focus on loving and being faithful to Jesus. The second story is a pretty famous story, but I think it makes the point so well, about a man who was in his doctor's office, and he was talking to a man who had a terminal diagnosis. And the man asked him, he said, "You're a religious man." He says, "Tell me what's it like on the other side. I'm worried, I'm fearful." The doctor said, "Well, I can't tell you exactly what it's like." He said, "But you're a religious man. Don't you know? Can't you give me some insights?" And he said, "I can't tell you exactly what it's like because I don't know." He says, "But I can tell you this." He said, "You hear my dog that's scratching on the other side of the door that's sitting there just resting quietly, eager to come into this room." And he opened up the door and the dog came in. Was there to see his master and meet him. And he said, "This dog has never been in this room. Yet he entered it calmly and excitedly because his master was in here. He could sit on the other side of the door and lay there and wait because his master was in the other side of the door, on the other side of the door." Jesus is saying, you don't really know for sure what all of heaven's going to be like, but you do know who your master is. And I'm coming again to take you to myself. And the third story comes from just a couple years back. You remember how Kim Fortner was tragically killed, a young lady in our youth group, in Northside Youth Group, was killed in a car accident just here in Mayfield, and how we all grieved a young lady who was killed. And then her grandfather, she died in December, and her grandfather died that February of 2013, Richard Fortner, of brain cancer. Both faithful Christians. Richard had been a preacher for years, and this picture was put on Facebook, and I thought this picture so exemplifies, and someone put that, I think Kevin, Kim's dad, had put it up, and he said, "This picture means more now than it did when it was taken earlier at a wedding several months earlier in 2012. But I thought this picture represents what I'm trying to say this morning. Heaven is not about the what. It's about the who. It's about who's there. It's about the relationships. It's about Jesus and God and the Spirit. So don't get all wrapped up in what you're going to be doing. Focus on who's going to be there. And if you keep that focus, it will give you motivation to make sure you are there. You see, Jesus is saying, I'm going to come again and take you to myself. If we follow Him as the way, the truth, and the life. And so this morning, are you in love with Jesus? It may be like Peggy Harris. You may have to go 60 years of not knowing and seeing fully Jesus. Paul said he was ready to go now, but he had to wait. He had some business he still had to do. But are you going to be faithful through your life to when the call comes that you're ready to go and be with Jesus. If you're not a Christian, don't leave here this morning. Don't leave here this morning without being right with God. If you need to be immersed into Christ, to have your sins washed away, to follow Jesus, do that. If you need to rededicate your life and come forward and get your life right back with the Lord and ask for forgiveness of sins and forgiveness of the church, do that. Don't let anything stand in the way, because heaven is not about the what, it's about the who. And we don't want you missing out. Come as together we stand and sing.